Welcome to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. Enjoy today's message. May you experience the presence of our Father, and may you grow deeper in your relationship with Him.
The message I'm going to give this morning is really some of the personal lessons that we have learned since the time that we got saved, and sort of finding our way in God's kingdom. You know, now you get, now you're born again, now what? And to find out what God's purpose is for us is something that we all need to be looking at and say, Lord, what is your purpose? And that's not necessarily that what you are doing now is God's purpose for you. Sometimes especially when we're growing up and younger, and God puts us into different places and He equips us and He teaches us and different things about life. He matures us. But that may not be the end result. That was certainly the case for us. And so I just also need to just remind you that as we're going on and we're talking about about this purpose that God has for us, that maybe God's already put in your heart what He wants for you. You know, He gives you the desires of your heart. Maybe this is something that you may want to look at, and maybe what you are doing now is not necessarily what God's got for you up in the future. And so God will guide you and lead you as you get close to Him. Excuse me, I had some tablets this morning and don't know if they've worn off. I've got an anti-nasal drip. I hope I'm not a drip, but it's anti-nasal. We serve a wonderful, amazing God. He is just amazing in every way. There's nothing else we can say wrong about God. He is just amazing, and he created us in His that extravagant love. He created us, and it's in that extravagant love that He gave His Son for us. Extravagant for you and for me. That extravagant love is something that we cannot fathom. The love that He has bestowed on us, even if we are in the worst possible place, in the sinful nature, for instance, but we're all created in the image of God, and therefore He loves us, and He always is trusting and hoping that one day we'll come to Him. He even loves the Satanist, because the Satanist has also gone wrong somewhere, and created in His image, in His likeness, and so we have sort of got choices to make down the road. So, Father, I pray as we just get into this message now, Lord, that You will teach us, that You will show us, Lord, that where we are right now may not be the place that You want us for the rest of our lives, but maybe, Father, I pray that You will come and teach us, show us, as we draw near to You, Lord, that You will give us Your heart for our lives on this earth today. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. So the message I want to give tonight this morning, is for everyone. There's nobody that this message will not you want to touch in some way. But throughout the Bible, we see that God speaks about His love for you and me. His love, that extravagant love. It speaks about the way He cares for us, if we allow Him. He cares for us beyond measure. He's got a plan and purpose for every one of us. And that word that you brought just now, brother, it was really spot on. And we don't always look at people the way that we should be looking at. But God is God. And He looks, even the people from the gutter, from the street, He looks them as valuable in His sight. Just gone wrong somewhere. We always have to ask the question, why? Where did this happen? How did it get to this place? So, because God's got a purpose for his life as well. He says, God says, I want to bless you. And he looks for every opportunity to bless. And the thing that he has for us as well is this plan. He's got a plan and a purpose for each one of us. And I would be probably in that category that I always had even after I got saved, really, until I really ministered into this area, but I always struggled from unworthiness, rejection, and a fear of leaders, authority. And God had to deal with me in so many ways, but that came. It's not all happening at one stage. Life is a process. And he takes us through this process, and every now and again, something happens. We say, I can hold on to that. And God comes and touches and brings healing and even get deliverance. But all promises that God has got for us, there is a condition. And that condition would be something like this. If you stay close to me, I will do this. He will say things like, if you remain in me and I in you, he will do this. He would say things like, be faithful, be obedient. If you're obedient, I will do this. If you remain faithful, because he is faithful to us, we need to remain faithful to him as well. And so, for those that do love the Lord and do walk in his ways and do what he tells us to do, and some of us will walk in ways that then go on missions and go on some dangerous stuff. He says in Psalm 91 and 2 Thessalonians 3 verse 3, he says, he will protect us from the evil one. He will protect us. Why? Because we trust in him. He will, in Philippians 4:19, he will supply all our needs according to his riches and glory in Christ. In Revelation 3:18, he says, I will open the doors for you that no one can shut. That's nice. 1 Peter 5:7, he says, bring your burdens to me. Cast your cares on my life, on me. And all your anxiety cast on me. Another one is that he knows the plan and purpose for your life. Now, when we read that scripture in Jeremiah 29:11, he knows the purpose he has for us on this earth. It is for us to come close to him and find out what that purpose is. It's not going to just blow in because the wind is blowing in your purpose. No, it doesn't work like that. And when we are in a place of out of line with God, he gives us the victory. When we make that certain choice in our lives, he gives us the victory, and he will trample down the enemies as in Psalm 60, when we make the right choices to be with him. So we need to somehow respond to God's love. And there's a scripture that we heard the other day, and I just brought this in because it's just so beautiful. And we can make the scripture, if we are genuine with the Lord, take the scripture and go and read it over and over and over again. There's quite a little bit in it. So we could look at our own lives and say, Lord, I'm out of line here. Help me. Do this. Help me. I'll do that. Psalm 27 verse 4 says, the one thing I ask of the Lord. David was in trouble. But the one thing I ask of the Lord, and this is what I desire, that I may dwell in the house or in his presence of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek Him in His temple. Well, David had to go to the temple to seek the Lord. Now, yes, the temple. This is our temple. And in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, it says, seek first. This is our part. We have to seek. Seek first. Not second, not third, not hundredth. First. The first thing. Seek the Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all these things. We do the seeking, the promise is, and all these things will be added to you as well. The promise. Now you see, we don't want to go after the promise. Really, the promise will come. What God wants us for us is actually to seek Him. This is where we sometimes go wrong. We have this little idol of I want to, whatever it might be, seek Him first. Seek Him. So we're going to live life. And I encourage you to live life wisely. We need to be wise in everything we do every day. And we don't want to walk with spiritual blinkers on that sort of just moves here. God is a God of fascinate, of differences, diversity. Yeah. See, my Afrikaans has been getting better now. And so God's got so much there. And one of those things, or two of those things maybe, is for you or for me. There was a guy a couple of days back. We were in Pretoria where we live, and we were going to church, and we were driving on quite a busy road, and the cars came back on both sides, and there was a solid line, and there was a guy walking down the solid line. He was oblivious to the traffic and the danger that he was putting himself in. But thinking about that, that's actually sometimes how we live life. We walk down this line, and this is all I want to do. And there's danger on both sides of us, and we're just not looking at it. We just walk down the line. And you see, we need to make a decision to get off that line. So there's decisions you can make. If we go back spiritually now, we can make a decision for God or against God. For God, for Satan. For God, for Satan. Our whole life is a matter of choices. So, just a bit of my testimony. I got saved when I was 40 years old. And that's a long time in the wilderness. Everything was meaningless. There was no meaning to life. We enjoyed life, yeah, but actually I knew somewhere deep down there was more. But it was so out of reach to know there was more. And so we didn't know that we were walking in this darkness. We were enjoying life. We actually had a very good and nice life in not knowing the Lord fully. We used to go to church, so we know about God, but we weren't born again. So it was just sort of these choices all the time that come across our path. And sometimes it takes a little bit of courage then to when you do get faced with it, with the Lord, we need to still make a choice. Because we've got stiff knees that don't want to bend and a stiff neck that doesn't want to turn the right way. And we need to ask the Lord, Lord, you come and help us just to bend my knee to you. But that decision He will always leave to us. We got to bend the knee. He won't bend it for us. He says, you can bend the knee. I will respond to that. So when we're looking at life and we're looking at the war that's taking place over our lives, just before we get to that, Psalm 27 verse 5, it says, for in the day of trouble, He will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his tabernacle and set me high upon the rock of Jesus. That we, he is our rock. And we may ask the question, now why would he want to protect and why would he want to hide me? Because we don't see sometimes the dangers that are out there. If we don't, we're not there with the Lord. We are there. Satan's coming along every moment. He's putting things across our path. He put pictures across our path. Our minds just float to the wrong thing. He wants to keep us safe. And why is that? Because there's a third party involved, Satan. He's my enemy. I know now is your enemy, which you don't often think about. He's God's enemy. And God knows the way we live life, if we carry on living like we are, we're gonna fall off the cliff in a sense. He wants to keep us here. He wants us. That love, he wants us right close to him. He's warning against the enemy that God is asking us and encouraging us. Here I am. Satan's on the other side of the tow rope, the tug of war. And he's also pulling. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? He also pulls. And he's saying, come out. Come this side here. Don't go God's way. Come this way, because here there's pleasures and there's joy and there's anything that you'd like to think of. God says, my side, you follow me. I will look after you. I'll protect you. I will give you all your heart's desires. And I will love you into the kingdom, to everlasting life. But you see, the troubles of life sometimes get us down. And we look at Daniel. In the book of Daniel, Daniel cried out to the Lord. And he needed help. And the Lord heard his prayer and he sent an angel. But Daniel was waiting for this help to come from the Lord. He was waiting, and we can become impatient in our waiting for this help to come. But you see, we don't realize sometimes that God's help will only come when we sort of get to that place that we will gain understanding, and then he will send an angel. So we need to find out from our own selves, Lord, where am I right now? Where am I? Call out to the Lord and trust in him. Listen to Daniel's story. The angel said to Daniel in verse 12, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day, remember, first day, that you set your mind to gain understanding and humble yourself before God, your words were heard. When we set our mind to draw closer to God, understand who he is, and humble ourselves, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. And then the angel arrives to Daniel. Daniel might say, where the hang were you? Verse 13 says, but the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Why did he resist the angel 21 days? That he couldn't break through, and he had to call on Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help him, because I was detained with the prince of Persia, Satan himself. Why? Because the angels knew that if David got this message from God, they would be in trouble. It's something to contend with. Because the power and authority that God wants to give us, his church, Satan doesn't want this to happen. So there's a war in the heavenlies to stop that message coming through. And now the angel says, I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people in the future. For a vision concerns a time yet to come. Maybe we can just rephrase that a little bit. Now I've come in to explain to you, John, Mary, what plan I have for you in your, for your life. There is a fight for God's plan for our lives. And there's a war in the heavenlies that is resisting all the way for us to get close to God. God wants to fight for you and me. Our part is to seek that understanding and to get wisdom on our knees. And wisdom, humility and understanding and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. What stops us, really? Pride? Enjoying the wrong stuff? These are all hindrances to what God wants to do for us until we break through into Him. Look what's happening in the world around us today. In just about every department of the world, there is Satan seems to be ruling. There's chaos everywhere, just chaos, chaos. And that's what he wants. He wants chaos. He wants chaos actually in our own lives. He wants chaos. So, but when there is chaos, and there's chaos at work, and there's chaos wherever you go, your own life is chaos. Don't fight this thing alone. Do what Daniel did. Cry out. Because you understand that God will come and help you. And don't be impatient. Because He will come. Stick close to Him. There is a very busy devil out there seeking to who he can kill, steal, and destroy. God hates, Satan hates everything that God created. He hates. But the book, the Bible says that the days of Satan are numbered. That's not long now. Satan does not want us to join the Jesus army and to be effective in his kingdom. Now, you know, I just come back to some of our testimony. When we got saved, when I got saved, we all got saved in 1982, sort of the same year, the whole family. But when I got saved, I was the last one to come in because I was probably too proud or whatever it might be. But when I was confronted with the gospel, I had to make a choice. Yes or no? Would you like to come into the kingdom of God? Yes or no? And I said yes. But when I said yes, there was a conviction of me saying yes. That day, everything changed. I got born again that day. I got baptized, got filled with the Holy Spirit. I spoke in tongues, prayed for the sick. I did amazing stuff. Yet, I was not fully healed. Now, we can go to a church sometimes and we go up and do these little altar calls. And we go, I need healing here, I need healing there. And we pray just a prayer that's this deep. Now, it's good that you come up. I'm not saying it's not. But we must actually learn, what is the issue? Why is these things happening in your life? And deal with the things that need to be dealt with before God can bring the healing. And I'll give you that example. Got saved. We started a ministry called Tell a Friend 38 years ago. And then out of that, I think we got called, we sort of emerged in this big 6,000 seater member church, and we got called as pastors. And when we got called as pastors, Bill and I said, you know, this is a wonderful that God's calling us, but there was just something that was holding us back. And the Lord said to us, I want you to go. I want you to be a pastor here. But this will be a stepping stone for what I want for you. Now, that stepping stone, we really took a stepping stone, a 12-year stepping stone. And even before we got saved, we started developing a heart for broken people, hurting people. When we were living in Ventersdorp, we established a lifeline there, and it's a secular telephone counseling ministry, and we got thousands of calls, really. And one day I said to Beryl, there must be some more to this. We must get closer to God. We didn't know God. The company I was working for transferred to Pretoria, and that year we got saved. And things things changed. Anyway, started this other ministry called Telefriend. We were called as pastors. We were there for 12 years, but our hearts were for the broken. And so we met up with this ministry called LL Ministries, and we saw what this is exactly what we had on our hearts. Exactly. So we eventually took us time and eventually resigned, went over to the UK, and spent 18 months there, just equipping ourselves with the hope to come back and establish LL in South Africa and eventually Africa. And while we were sitting, with about 3 months into this teachings that we were receiving, I really believe the Lord was starting to say, I want you to go back to South Africa, start this ministry, but I cannot use you as you are. That was something. I knew what it was. I knew. And then I spoke to Bill and told her about it, and it was something that we really had to work through, and it was like going through the valley of death, just about. But you know, God pulled us through that thing. You know, and He pulled us on the other side, totally different. Because I thought the ministry that we had received, even as a pastor, that we were healed. And now this was spiritual warfare. We're just in spiritual warfare. It wasn't that. I had to be healed. I had to be delivered of stuff as a pastor. The devil's on the loose. He wants chaos in our lives. Salvation is the first step to our healing. Okay? Salvation is our first step to our healing. And that's not what Satan wants. He does not want us to be healed. And we are, he keeps us back from when we do hear the message and we need to forgive people, come forward or whatever. No, no. You know, me, I'm just going to show people now I need to forgive people. That pride will keep us locked into a seat, and you will not be effective at all. So I'm talking quite straight, you know. Satan kept me busy for 40 years in the wilderness. 40 years. Until I bent the knee. Until my stiff neck was oiled. I don't know what happened. Until I realized that the blockage that I was struggling with was my fault. I was making the decisions. I did not allow myself to go and receive healing. I did not want to bow the knee to the Lord. You see, Satan will put things in your head. And he says, I don't want you to do that. And he, you know why he does that? Because he knows that an effective, well-trained disciple is a nightmare for him. Satan wants us to be obedient to him. God wants us to be obedient to him. Satan hates the purpose that God has for us. He may not know it, or everything, I don't know, but he fights that God's got something for us that'll be more of a problem to him, to Satan. God is fighting for us. He wants everlasting life for us. And this tug of war is something that we probably will struggle for many, many years until we get healed of the thing that's allowing Satan to pull that string. Our disobedience. If we do not stop our disobedience, the devil will just draw us deeper and deeper into his net. We may sing the songs, we may raise our hands, but what happens behind closed doors? Only you and I will know. Yes, there are influences. For instance, there's the influence where God says that the sins of the fathers down to the third and fourth generation will be handed down to the children, third and fourth generation. Well, if those curses have, it's not us that did anything really, but if those curses are coming down, go and find somebody, go and speak to your pastors here, and let them deal with it. Let them deal with it. Because you can see in your own life, I'm doing the same thing my father did, or my grandfather. Let's deal with it. Sin has a consequence. And that's a bad consequence. Obedience has a consequence, but a good consequence. So when we choose to sin, we give the enemy rights in our lives. We open the door. Now when we ourselves open the door and give the enemy rights, this is a doorway for the demonic to come in. And so the demonic, if it's already there, we may say, Lord, forgive me, but the demonic is still there. We need to go and have that taken out. We need to break loose from the stuff. Sometimes we sin today and we think chaos is going to break out tomorrow. No, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes we sin today, 4 or 5 weeks later, all of a sudden, chaos breaks out. And we don't often think that this is the result of what took place today. James 4:17 says, submit yourself then to God. Submit yourself to God. That's the big thing. Submit yourself to God and resist. We can resist the devil and he will flee from you. Submitting ourselves to God is a license for God to protect us. God protects us when we are submitting. It's given permission for God to actually fight for us. But we have a free will choice at any time to say yes to Satan and no to God. We can. And we do. So, what does God want? He wants us to remember about this fight that's in the heavenlies. In Ephesians 6:12, he says, for our struggle is not against each other. It is not. And so much of the struggle is here, amongst each other, amongst people. But it's against the rulers and against the authorities and against the powers of this dark world and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. That's where the fight's taking place. So we need not fight each other. We need to say sorry to each other. I forgive you. Please forgive me. But the fight is up here in the heavenly realms. That's where your fight is. And God wants us to fight for our country, for our families. Not here, there. So spiritual opposition can come through humans, like influence from wrong friends, like peer pressure, like wrong role models, like dishonoring your leaders, like internet, the media, the time spent, the movies, the podcasts, the porn. This is something in the modern day Christian. This wasn't there when we were youngsters. It's only a couple of years back. This is all crept in. But this is holding us sometimes. We waste so much time. I know my wife said to me, I'm following this Donald Trump thing to see what God is doing amongst this lot here. You know, and it's just fascinating to see what God's doing. Now, I might be tapping on soft ground here or whatever. And Bill said to me, hey, you're spending too much time just listening what's happening and going there. I have to repent. I have. But there's a spiritual fight for our time. God wants our time. Satan wants our time. And you know what? We need to decide who are we going to give our time to. Are we going to give it to Satan? Because when we do, we separate ourselves from the Lord. And sometimes it's a battle to get back again. We must make good decisions. And the things that we do, some people spend so much time on the internet or on their computers. So much. Or their phones now. We must be careful that we don't slip back into the place where Satan actually wants us. I'm not trying to glorify Satan here. I'm just telling you this is the fact that we live in the world. Our role, again, is to keep our hearts soft with the Lord. And be open to hear His voice. To hear His voice, to walk with Him, to be in that right place of love and obedience with God. Make those decisions. How do we get there? Well, sometimes we have to forgive others. Sometimes we have to repent of our own sin. And you know what? Sometimes we have to actually forgive ourselves for allowing the enemy into our lives. Forgive yourself. Just like David spoke, and he spoke into his soul, and he said, why are you so downcast, my soul? We can say, Lord, I speak to myself. I say, Derek, I forgive myself for what I've done. Please forgive me. I forgive myself. You see, there's a thing called worship. Now, this morning we worshipped here. It was lovely. It was such anointing again, this second service. And we lift our hands and we sing all these beautiful songs. But worship doesn't stop just with singing. Our life is a life of worship. We're either living in obedience to God, that's worship. Or we're living in obedience to Satan, that's also worship. And Satan wants our worship that was intended for God, he wants that. And how he gets that is get us to sin. Get us to do the wrong stuff. Spiritual opposition can also manifest through unbelievers elsewhere. But unfortunately, it can also come through Christians. Unhealed, immature Christians who are not being delivered from the power of the enemy. And things like gossip. Somebody comes and gossips to me and about this one year. And I say, what? Did he do that? Now I'm going to cross with you. No. There is no grace on a third party offense. Because that person didn't do anything to me, but I'm now offended because it did something to this. No, no, it doesn't work this way. I need to say to them, oh, stop here. Let's come make right with this person. That's my role. If I listen to this guy and I get offended, then I fall into the trap of the enemy. Don't listen. Because we are then part of that kind of opposition can also come from within the family, not only the biological family, but also in the family of believers, whoever. And it can also be, if you're working for a company, say, well, we're a family in this office. David had a son by the name Absalom. Absalom was a real nasty piece of work, I think. And Absalom wanted his father's position as king. So he speaks to the staff and he gets all the staff in the castle there on his side, and then he tries to kill his father. It's dishonoring of the leader, dishonoring of a dad or a mom. Very Jezebelic stuff. We must be careful of these things. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 onwards speaks about there can be a conflict here within us. So I say, live by the Spirit. Look at the spelling, Spirit, capital S. It's talking about the Holy Spirit. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict inside of us here with each other. So that you do not do whatever you want to do. But be led by the Spirit, and you will not be under the law. Or some say, if you're led by the Spirit, you're the sons of God. So from within, there can be this conflict. What do? I like enjoying what's happening out there. Nobody else knows about it, but I enjoy it. That conflict. But I also want to serve God. Conflict. Never judge other people. So in our gossip, we judge people in the gossip. See, these things stop us from that God-given purpose that He has for us. It's God's role to forgive and to judge, not ours. Our role is to forgive and allow God to be God. When an offended Christian prays against another Christian, prays against another Christian, that's called white witchcraft. Don't fall into that trap. Forgive and bless your enemies. Tough stuff? Yes. Not easy? Yes. They've hurt me so much, God's words to remain the same. Forgive your enemies. Forgive those who hurt you. Forgiveness, true forgiveness is as if it never happened before. That's true forgiveness. Try and get to that place, as if it never happened. Sometimes when we operate in a wrong way, it's like this light that God says we have. You are the light of the world. Jesus is the light of the world. But He also says to His disciples, to us, that we are also the light of the world. It's like that light gets extinguished. When the unsafe people at work will say, how you call yourself a Christian? Look what how you're behaving. They're light. if you find yourself in that place that you are judging others or doing stuff that we shouldn't be doing, is a scripture I'd like to bring to you. Luke 11:35, Jesus speaking. And just this is part of the scripture. You can go and read the rest of it at home. Jesus said, "See to it then that the light within you is not darkness." Man, that thing hit me when I first got an understanding of it. See to it that the light is in you. The light of Jesus in us, but we're actually operating in darkness. When we skin out and we gossip and we do all these things, we're operating in that darkness. And yet we say, yeah, amen, Lord. Watch, take that thing to the Lord. Ask people forgiveness if you have to. We had a pastor some years back, and he was quite straight on down the line. He was pointing. He said, "Look at the son here. Look at the son there. Look at the son. That one's also in sin. Be careful. Don't associate with him. His son." And these poor people couldn't get healing in the church. They eventually left, and found out some years later that he's been in an adulterous relationship for years. But he's pointing fingers to other people. God will deal with him. Luke 11 says, if your whole body is full of light and no part of it is in darkness, it will be completely lightened as when a light of a lamp shines in you. Where's the light of the lamp? Now we don't have this light that people can see. But Jesus says, it will be completely lightened as when the light of a lamp shines on you. So if I stand in the light, you will see that there's something different perhaps. And when there's something different, which is godly, people will see that there is something different about you. They will see perhaps not a light, but it is like a light. And they say, "Why are you so different?" Thank you. "Why are you so different?" You see, in the workplace, that's what we need. God's plan and purpose for your life will, however, attract a lot of opposition. I want to also describe the scripture of 1 Corinthians 10. So if you think, Jesus speaking again, if you think you are standing firm, when you are judging others, while you are in sin, nobody knows about it. If you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. Be careful. Sort it out with the Lord. Make right with him. Because he's saying, "Yes, come. You're not on a stony ground." And Paul says during his ministry that if you're in a ministry or he says, "Hey man, the Lord's opened such a door for me here. An effective work. But yet there are many who oppose me." You see, when God takes us into a ministry, you're going to have people that are going to oppose us. And sadly, a lot of it comes from the church. That's our experience. Satan doesn't want this to happen. And if we have some of these things in our lives, I would encourage you just to come and speak to your leadership or some mature counselors who can help you get through these things. But also want to caution you on another thing. Be careful of unsubmitted counselors. Christian, but unsubmitted. No accountability anywhere. That if something goes wrong, they don't care. Find the right counselors to help you. When God speaks to us, just wait on Him. Wait on Him. Spend that time on Him. Spend that time. I love my times with the Lord. The Lord wakes me up three, sometimes four times a week at 3 o'clock in the morning. I mean, they're going to look at the watch. I wake up 3:00. How often? Sometimes 10:02, sometimes 10:10, because I didn't get up quick enough when He woke me. God wants to use you. And this thing is not age related. It's anybody. Anybody, the older people. Look at Caleb. Caleb was 85 years old when he went and to Joshua and says, I have now come to for my inheritance. 85, give me the hill country where all the demons and giants are. 85, I'm as strong today as I was when I was 45. He said, it's not the strength of the flesh, it's the strength of the spirit in us that wants to take us forward. That's not age-related. There's a spiritual war in heaven that wants to stop you from anything that will contribute to the kingdom of God. Oh, man. We are... And this vision and this desire that God puts on our hearts to do something which is from Him, it's not ours. It's His vision He gave us to do His work. We often claim, my ministry, I understand saying that, but actually we must know, whatever we do in the kingdom, it's for the Lord, not for us. And a very interesting scripture, if we just take it in context with what we're speaking about now. Jesus prays for His disciples like He's praying for you and me. In John 17, He says, and part of the prayer that He's saying, He says, He's speaking to God, Father, my people, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but you protect them from the evil one. Now that's a very interesting scripture that is prayer, Jesus praying, because God loves the world. He wants us to be in the world, but not of the world. So He says, don't take them out of the world and just put them into everybody, into full-time ministry where they have no more worldly friends. Go into the world where you are, in the workplace. Take your light with you, not your torch, but your healing light. Take it in there. Go into the world. Not out of the world, but while they're in the world, Lord, protect them from the evil one. That's what He's saying, protect us. And when God's speaking to you, and you say, Lord, what actually have you got for me? You know, read Psalm 37. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. We had a desire long before we got saved for broken people. God used that. He took us on a road. We started this ministry called Tell a Friend. We led thousands of people to the Lord. We got called into the ministry. God says, this is a stepping stone for what I want you to do. Eventually, we got to the place. We were equipped. Went over to the UK, got equipped. And we're still dealing with the broken people we had the heart for before we got saved. God wants to use you. Just a couple more scriptures. just to encourage you, let me finish. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says, be on your guard, stand firm in the faith. Be men, and I add the women, of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. Now take that into the workplace. Take it into the workplace. People are against you. Love them. Be nice to them. Monday morning when you go there, smile. This is Monday. You shouldn't be smiling. Blue Monday. No. We don't have Blue Mondays. And these are the scriptures now to bring all this thing together. In Psalm 32, verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and watch over you. Do not be like the horse and the mule, and which have no understanding, but must be controlled by the bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. That's just going doing your own thing because it feels good or looks good. May the woes of the wicked, many of the ways of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the man and woman who trust in you. Ezekiel 12. Now all has been heard, and the year is my conclusion for the matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. I'm talking about mankind, men and women. And verse 14 goes on and says, for God will bring every deed into judgment, including every hidden thing, whether it is good or evil. So, where do we stand? Where are we? Aren't there something to take home and have a chat and just ask questions? Where am I? Where are we as a couple? What does God want to do with us? God wants to use each one of us. God will. If you're not hearing immediately, come and serve the church, or come and serve doing something in the meantime. And when you start moving, stepping out for God, he'll take you on the path you need to go.